Blog Talk Radio. Dino Radio, this is DJ Sal Accordion. Guess what? It's Thursday night. You know what that means. It's the DNA show. That's right. All about indigenous identity and DNA. And with me tonight, like always, many people know her as Scary or Creepy Steph. But in DNA show, we know her as, how do we know her as? We can say Casica, we can say Stephanie, but I like to say tonight, Inaruboria. Check it out, are you there?
Hey, Sanakori.
Hey, what's up? This is it. Thursday night, that's right. We're going to open up the weekend. Forget
that's
Friday
right.
night, it's going to start Thursday. That's right, man. DNA. Wow, why so scientific, Stephanie? Tell me. Oh, Inaru Boria.
Why so scientific? I mean,
yeah.
DNA is an important part of indigenous identity as a whole in these modern times. You know, we have the oral traditions of our ancestors where we can rely on their information. However, as time progresses, we've lost a lot of the oral traditions because our elders have either been silenced or they've moved away from a lot of their traditional teachings. So being able to have indigenous, well, and also we have a lot of elders that didn't even know that they have indigenous backgrounds and indigenous ties due to the paper genocide and the erasure of culture. So now with DNA, we've been able to prove indigenous identity and culture and heritage within ourselves. And that alone has been the driving force for a lot of people to find these connections and, you know, reconnect and build lineage. So, you know, DNA, as scientific as it may be, is bringing cultures together and allowing people to explore things that they may not have otherwise had a connection to.
Now, I heard a rumor back in 1492, they tried to destroy some DNA found in the Caribbean Sea islands. I don't know if that's true, but they try to do that. Some
well,
people call it genocide.
I mean,
what do you think about that?
I will say, I heard a little rumor too. I heard it through the grapevine that there was this guy who was terrible at navigation and accidentally ended up on an island, right, back in 1491. And he came across these really dope people, right? But there was a whole bunch of miscommunication, and those really dope people were, you know, good people. So they tried to get along with this person and his people. However, it didn't work out like that. And they ended up taking advantage, and they tried to kill them all off. They thought they did a great job at getting rid of them, but turns out they did a crappy job. And lo and behold, you know what that means? They
What's
exist.
That?
You know, their lineage existed and persevered through time. And from what I was told, I think it was the Taino people. I think it
Wait
was
a
the
minute.
Taino people that they tried to kill off. And, well, newsflash, hey, guys, didn't work.
Well, you know what? I want to shake it up a little bit. Let's get into some DNA music. Let's try to decode some of the DNA. You know, right here, I'm, you know, DJ Sanakuri, I got access to some DNA markers. And in these markers, high Middle Ages DNA. And let me just share with everyone, right, some DNA music. What was the hottest song in 1492 in these invaders' DNA? Let's see. Your vote, Exhibit A.
I'm gonna always go with
from
the
High Middle Ages.
You know that? Nah,
what?
I can't
music,
do that.
Right? Well, I don't want to diss anyone else.
Music.
All right, well, you know what? Check this out. Bartolomé de las Casas loved our people so much that he tried to save them, you know, from the harsh treatment of the slavery encomienda system. So he really got this idea that was actually stupid and desperate, but I guess he tried his, you know, he tried to sway the crown and say, no, this is harsh. This is killing these good people, you know, it's killing them. Let's hold on a second. This is Exhibit 3. This is DNA from another people that came to the islands, and they actually mix with the Taino. Let's see if you can guess this DNA music. Your guess, what's that hot song? What do you think? From where? From what people?
I have no idea, but it sounds so familiar to me.
It's actually, it's called Chango. It's from the Nigerian Yoruba style drumming.
That might be why it sounds so familiar to me.
There you go. So there's a mix there, right? So, hey, man, today's show, all of that to prove one thing. What is colorism? That's our topic for today. If anybody wants to call in, you going to take any callers today?
Yeah, if anybody has some commentary, I'm always down to parlay with people.
Yeah, that's a good one. So it's 515-602-9639. Hey, man, I saw that great flyer. You know, we put it on the fly. I mean, that great collage you made with all the different colors of the people that compose Arayeke. Well, not everyone, but most people, right? That you put there. That was awesome. What gave you that idea?
So I've noticed within the Taino community for quite some time, I've noticed that there's a lot of issues regarding and surrounding colorism just in general. So for the people who aren't savvy on the idea of colorism, to keep it as simple as possible, it's when a specific group essentially is prejudiced amongst other people in their group due to the color of their skin or their features.
What?
For, you know, all intents and purpose. So what I've seen a lot of in the Taino community since I started my journey was this idea of having to look a certain way to be able to claim your indigenous ties to being Taino. And I think everybody needs a little reminder that colorism has absolutely no place in the indigenous community. Due to the amount of colonization, due to the amount of intermixing, whether it was by choice or by force, we come as indigenous people in all shapes, all colors, all sizes, in every beautiful kind of array that you could possibly come up with. And I think as a Yukayak, it's important for us to make that very clear. So if I have an individual who's trying to provide education on language and that person happens to look like Sitting Bull, that's great, you know. But if that person happens to be, you know, fair, white-skinned with blue eyes and blonde hair, they should be able to receive that same kind of recognition and that same kind of respect. You know, there's no quintessential look for anymore. You know, we have Mohawks that are blonde hair, blue-eyed. We have, you know, our Shinnecock people who are brown-skinned, brown-eyed, and curly, coily hair. You know, we have Tainos that range from pale skin, blue eyes, blonde hair, or green eyes, to tan-skinned, like me, tan-skinned, green eyes, and dark black hair, to my daughter, who is, you know, completely fair-skinned with brown eyes and almost blonde, dirty blonde hair. That doesn't change her from being any less indigenous than I am, you know, and it doesn't change me being any more indigenous
definitely
than anyone else. So
definitely, exactly.
Being able to identify your indigenous identity is a task all in itself, especially for us as Taino people, because we
mm-hmm.
come from a place where they tried to teach us that we were extinct. They tried to teach us that we were completely our ancestral land. And that's been the history, that's been the context that's been provided to us from the inception of our education in school, you know. And because of those thoughts and those ideas, that's what's been the overall understanding. So when people say, oh, I'm Taino, and somebody says, no, you're not, you can't be because they're all extinct, that causes a problem. When somebody says, oh, I'm Taino, and they say, no, you're not, you're too light-skinned, that causes a problem. Or,
definitely,
no, you're not, you're too dark-skinned, that causes a problem. You know, Taino people come from around the equator. We're bound to have some pigment in our skin in some instances. However, some of us just don't get tan, and there's nothing wrong with that. So being able, Taino, with a voice to help other Taino people understand that colorism is not okay in any way, shape, or form, not just within the Taino people, but overall in the human species, colorism is not a right. It's a big thing. And, you know, it's important, like I said, for us that share this space and those of us that have a means of reaching larger groups of people, it's important that we use that space to share that information. You know, oftentimes we're put in a position where we have to defend not only our existence, but now the way that we look, you know, the way that we're perceived. You can't do this because you don't look the part. But it's not an acting job. It's not an acting gig. You know, what's embedded in your genetics is embedded in your genetics. What your family taught you, you know, what they grew up with, those ancestral patterns that were passed down to you, they're your rights. They're your God-given rights to be able to practice and to honor and to share space and to keep that culture and to share that culture. It shouldn't matter how you look.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I remember, I think I said this in prior shows. I can't remember when, though. What was the context? But I remember I spent a summer with the Crow Nation, and I was a Franciscan at the time, a brother, religious brother, and I remember my job was to help the kids, the youth, you know, and, you know, help them out with homework, encourage them to go to school. You know, there was it was a summer program that I was helping run. And I had free access to the, I had direct access to their tribal school during lunchtime. That's how I met, you know, I get to socialize with all the children. And I remember there was this one kid sitting by himself. If you open up a textbook and you want to see, like, what's an 1801 Crow look like, you know, Crow warrior, whatever. This kid had all the stereotypical features, you know. He was darker than most of the kids. His hair was, like, he had, like, nice spiky hair, and he had these strong, like you can tell maybe, you know, from the textbooks, you know, this guy was from warrior society blood, you know. All your stereotypical notions, right? And then, but he was sitting all by himself. So I sat next to him. Hey, can I sit with you? You know, he's like, yeah. And so we started eating. And then I said, so what's up? You know, why are you sitting alone? Is you all right? And he's like, nah, I just, kids pick on me. You know, I'm like, really? And just when I said that, these three children come up wanting to sit next to us, you know. And they started picking on him right in front of my eyes. They were picking on him. And oh, my God, it was really bad. And I told the kid, yo, what's up? No, don't do that. That's not right. And then they put their fingers on his food. It was really, it was like, wow, man, this is deep, you know. And so I remember I told the kids, no, you can't stay here if you're going to act like that. And then they just left. So I asked the kid, you know, does this happen to you every day? And he's like, yeah, and I think it's because of the way I look. I was like, what do you mean? Well, I'm darker than most people, and, you know, I'm short. And, you know, he just ran a whole list, you know, of stuff they pick on him. And I'm like, wow, this is deep, you know. So I realized that because of his facial features, his skin, you know, I would think, this is what I was thinking, that they'll praise him more, you know. But I was like, oh, the stereotypical native-looking guy, you know. But it was like the opposite. And then I also learned that a lot of the kids had a poor self-image of their indigenous identity. And they identify more with, like, with the rappers or the sports stars and stuff like that than their own culture. So I was speaking to the elders about that. And then they go, and this is like late 90s, you know. And they were like, yeah, we're having a problem. They don't want to listen. They want to listen to the Shaquille O'Neal. You know, that was a big thing right back then. Yeah, they don't want to be like Shaquille O'Neal. And so I guess this kid kind of like reminded them, right, how they, you know, who they are, I guess, stereotypically. I don't know. So it was like, wow, it was deep. It was deep. And it was like, whoa. And there were other instances where I saw the parents trying to teach their kids some traditional stuff. You know, like how to take down teepee poles without getting hurt, on hurting, they just wouldn't listen. It was like, wow, this is deep stuff. So, but definitely the colorism, man, I saw it right in front of my eyes. It was like, whoa. So, yeah. And also I can remember back in the day in Taino Nation, we had a dress code. We had a facial code. We had a hair code. We had all of that. So that whole sense of looking the part, you know?
Right.
That was a big thing back then. You know, not to criticize, I think that was the era back then. That, right. You know, but, ah, man, it was, the darker you were, like, copper tone was ideal, you know? If you were trigueño, copper tone, dark eyes, you had the straight hair, you were like, you'll move up the ranks. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah,
I think,
man,
that's,
you're going to go.
The idea for a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's sad, you know. It's sad that when people think of what indigenous is, automatically they think of Geronimo, or they think of Sitting yeah. Bull, or they think of the cartoon Pocahontas. And nobody takes into consideration that, yeah, we have some people who still resemble, you know, those kind of features, that copper skin, red
right.
skin is what called them, with the jet black bone straight hair and, you know, the parrot-shaped noses, the high cheekbones and the wider faces. We have that. However,
mm-hmm.
that shouldn't be the sole identification of what indigenous is, you know. The
it's
North American tribes, the Inuits don't look like that. They don't, you know. The Diné people don't look like that. You know, the Mohawks and the Iroquois don't look like that anymore. You know, and when you continue to travel further down, further south, you know, we have some Quechua people who may embody that, but for the most part, again, due to the intermixing, it's not the same anymore. You know, we have people of Mayan and Inca and Aztec lineage that don't look like a quintessential native indigenous person, but it doesn't take away from their indigenous identity. You know, being mixed or mixed race doesn't make you any less indigenous. The only reason why you could be labeled as any less indigenous is if you follow a blood quantum. And, you know, I know I've spoken about it in previous shows, but blood quantum was created and still is used just as a means for the government to be able to eventually take your land back. You know,
exactly.
The more we focus on blood quantum, the more we're going to create division amongst indigenous people, because we're at a point where we've gone so many centuries of having to experience cultural erasure, you know, where they're trying to eradicate us and they're removing us from our lands and they're forcefully sterilizing us and they're doing all of these things to erase who we are. And it's getting to a point where people are starting to drink the Kool-Aid. They're trying to really do the same kind of work where they are telling indigenous people who may or may not look indigenous that you can't practice because you don't look indigenous enough. So you're putting
exactly,
people
right.
in a corner to become bashful, to become shy, to become less prideful, to be embarrassed about claiming their heritage. So they won't do it proudly. They won't pass it on to their family. And then that culture dies with them. And then what happens? Eventually the culture is going to be lost. How many of our indigenous people have lost their language because the elders were beaten and tortured to not be so indigenous? I mean, for example, let's take our North American cousins who are all experiencing the effects of residential schools. So many non-native people had no idea about residential schools until, you know, they started to find the bodies of children being buried on these properties, right? So many of the survivors that went to these indigenous schools forgot their language or were conditioned to a point where they were afraid to speak their language and to share their culture. Their children don't know it. Their children didn't have the opportunity to learn it, and their grandchildren will never learn it because of the fear
right.
that was beaten into them and tormented into them. At that point, once all the elders are no longer able to give those teachings, what happens to the culture? It doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
And at that point, we can't begin to identify, so they're going to come off of the res. They're going to go intermix. They're going to go intermingle, and they're going to continue to live and build their own legacies outside of their culture. What can we do about that? We can't do anything except for provide them with that pride and that sense of home. When it comes to our indigenous
exactly.
people, when it comes to the Taino people, we've had the same issues where Columbus came and visited the island, and for the most part, colonization took over. Many of our people were killed, and many of our people were murdered just because they were Taino. And because there was a language barrier, they had that social linguistic barrier between those two groups, there was no even means of communication for the Taino people to even understand why they were being murdered. They could have only assumed
exactly.
it was because they were who they were. So when they fled, a lot of them that fled, you know, retained the culture, but the ones who remained and tried or were forced to assimilate, they weren't going to teach the next generation of their children their Taino culture because that's what had so many of their family members be murdered. So
mm-hmm.
over time, that fear of culture created a lack of teaching, and we've lost so much of our heritage and so much of our culture because of it. And it puts us in a
Definitely.
Position of now the stereotypes, especially in our native home islands, the stereotypes of indigenous people are negative. Almost all of them are negative. So a lot of our elders won't speak about being Taino. They won't speak about the things that their parents did. They won't speak about the indigenous ways, even though they practice them daily. It's just daily, regular life to them, regular words that were used, even though they're indigenous words, they're Taino words. You know, these are the names of Taino towns. They know these words, but they won't identify as indigenous. And that loss of understanding of culture, not being able
mm-hmm.
to be passed down, created such a void within the Taino community. And now so many of them are just like, no, I'm not Indian, I'm not native, they're dirty, you know, or they're this, or, you know, they're savage-like, or they're, you know, there's so many negative connotations for what it means to be a Taino person in our ancestral homelands, in the places that gave birth to the idea of who we are. And we sit here, and as we try to revive it, we speak to these elders, and they're just like, nope, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I'm not Native.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it creates a sense of discouragement. So now, well, I'm not getting any education from anybody. What am I going to do? You know what? I'm just going to leave it alone because if they don't want to be indigenous, I'm not going to be indigenous. Why am I going to be something that doesn't exist?
Exactly.
You know, so yep. DNA testing has been able to provide that resource for us to say, no, hold on now. Let's sit down and let's really have a heart-to-heart and understand who we are. We are Taino. We are this. We are that. And we are all of these other things. You know, Puerto Ricans specifically have a high mix of European, a smaller mixture of African, and then an even smaller mix of indigenous for the most part. And it provides us a means of self-identification and self-awareness. You know, you do what you want with the information. However, if you have more European genes than you do indigenous genes, and your characteristics happen to fall into this European feature set, it doesn't make you any less indigenous. All it
mm-hmm.
means is that your ancestors were strong enough to survive. That's it. So in
that's
fighting
true.
Colorism, I think that's what the defining factor and the most important part of it all is going to be when it comes to understanding indigenous identity. You have to be able to say, you know what? We are the children or the grandchildren of the people who were not supposed to be here that made it. We are the children, the grandchildren of the survivors, what we are.
That's right. You know, it's interesting. I remember, again, back in the day, well, let me show the link. From back in the day to now, I still see when on Facebook, people post a lot of your stereotypical-looking Taino folk, you know, when it comes to nostalgia, like warriors or men, women images and stuff. And it looks very Amazonian, right? The copper tone skin, which is what, you know, these are our ancestors. And yet I remember speaking to many people in the islands who still practice a lot of these traditions, ceremonial traditions. They say, yeah, we live in a different era now. You know, we're different from our ancestors, and we have to honor that. So it's like a tug of war between, like, romanticism, I want to call it.
That's
and
exactly it.
You know what? It's almost like, what do you call that? Like, you look at your ultra-conservative religious sects or religious communities, you know, they have to dress a certain way, they have to look a certain way, their hairstyle is similar to how they did it, like, 2,000 years ago, you know, and then they're like,
mm-hmm.
Like, this is what makes us unique. Or you see religious orders, like, the order I was in was the Franciscans, right? And they would wear these medieval robes. And that's what makes you different. That's what makes you Franciscan, you know, and or this or that. It's like, it seems like as human beings, we always have that tendency, right? We have to look a certain way to show this is who we are, right? And a lot of it in our community is skin tone, right? So
I definitely see that.
Yeah, right? Like when you talk about the Taino narrative or Taino, what does it mean to be indigenous, Caribbean, whatever. You know, I think we fall back into those romanticized images, no?
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize if I'm offending anyone who's listening. That may look like that. I mean, that's cool, man, you know? But it's like, there's also other, right? Check off that box, other.
That's exactly it. And I think that everybody has to really understand. There's nothing wrong with having an idea of what you feel a Taino looks like. If you look in the mirror and you see yourself as a Taino, that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful image to have. However, you have to be able to look to your right and look to your left and understand that nobody else looks like you. Regardless of your genealogy, regardless of the amount of brothers and sisters you have, regardless of the amount of children that you have, they are not going to look exactly like you. So if the only image that you have in your mind of what a Taino looks like is what you look like, you then become the only Taino that's out there, the only viable Taino in your own view, in your own perspective. And that's illogical. You know, we have to understand that as a group, as many of us who come from the islands share relatives, we know we have an entire gradient scale of cousins that don't look like us. We have light cousins, we have dark cousins, we have curly-haired cousins, we have straight-haired cousins, we have blonde-haired color, you know, cousins, and we know that half of us might not even look related at some point, but we know that's our family. We know those are our cousins. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that Tia Blanca has blonde hair, but, you know, Titi Paca has brown hair, and they're sisters. So
that's right.
If we can see that in our own families, if we can understand that, why can't we understand that as Taino people, we share that same gradient? We share that same scale from light skin to dark skin to Euro-looking Taino to Afro-Indigenous looking Taino people. You know, we have the entire scale. All of us still represent the same thing. We all still understand the same semis. We all still share similar cultural practices. And from island to island is going to, you know, be different. My Dominican family that may be Taino is not going to look like my Cuban family, or they might look exactly alike, you know? Mm-hmm. So the idea that they have, that people create to romanticize that look of copper-toned skin with bone-straight, dark, black hair that's long, because it's always long. It's not short hair. It's frowned upon to be, quote-unquote, indigenous with short hair. Why? Because you have this image of what you think an indigenous person is supposed to look like. And these images that people have are not modern. You know, an indigenous person is whatever it is that they want to be, whatever it is that they want to look like. Indigenous people are trans. Indigenous people are non-binary. Indigenous people are of African descent. You know, indigenous people can be Asian. You know, indigenous people can have European features. It doesn't, there is no specified anything for what makes you indigenous. And it's like, it's time for people to understand that image that they've created, that false image that they've created, has to stop. And I understand for some people, it comes from a place of hurt. You know, not everybody is really trying to be prejudiced. I know from experience, I've met a few, trigueño-looking Taino people who were like me. You know, when I was younger, I was never Spanish enough to be with the Spanish kids. I was never African enough to be with my African-American family or friends, and I was always just in the middle. You know, I didn't really have a place to go because I was just not like them. So I understand from experience that, you know, conversations with other children that may look similar to how I looked as a child is difficult for them because they claim indigenous identity because that's all they have. Well, I'm not Spanish enough to be with you guys, even though I speak Spanish fluently. I don't have the features you have, but I also don't look Afro-Indigenous enough to be with my African friends or African descent friends. So I'm going to claim my Indigenous identity. Right. You know what? You're not welcome here anymore. So now I have my own sense of identity, and you can't come dip your toes in this water because it's mine. So it does come from a place of hurt for some people, you know, where they didn't find acceptance in those places, so they created their own space, their own safe space. And now they're so overprotective of their safe space that nobody is allowed in that space unless you can match what I have. And I get it. But it comes back to the idea of really healing that wounded child or that wounded adult, for the most part, that wounded lineage, because it may have been passed down to them. So, you know, it becomes a very touchy subject after a while, where some people who have access to the information just don't want to hear the logic behind the information, you know, because it's their safe space. But it's important, like I said, to bring these issues up and to have these conversations, because there's absolutely no way that we can preserve a culture if people aren't behind it. If people aren't learning the culture, understanding the culture, and teaching the culture, we can't expect it to advance. So it's time that people really start to understand that colorism has no place in the indigenous community, and it's our job as indigenous people to share that message, to spread that message, and to really help the people who have a hard time understanding and fostering that idea. It's our job to help them.
Yo, let me tell you, that's our role. This is the new generation, this is it. We're continually evolving, right? We have to help folks. You know, I remember a lot I remember a lot of people that I know who are like tribal cards in the North America here, They're federally recognized tribes. And on their cards, they give you a percentage, like 50%, 75%, and so on.
What?
And I have a,
I've never seen a tribal card with the blood quantum on it.
That's legitimate, man. Yep. And I saw a couple of Lakota cards, tribal cards, and they put your blood percentage. And And I remember I saw a high school yearbook from a reservation school, and they separated by percentages too. Yes. So this is something that's been ingrained, not by them, but it's by the government, you know, and it's kind of ingrained in a lot of the tribes. So this is something that mm-hmm. we all need to fight as indigenous peoples, you know, as we're waking up, right? We're waking up.
Exacto. That's
wow,
this is crazy. A massive awakening.
Yep. Well, listen, we have a caller on the line. So anyone who wants to call in, please, I know you're listening. Hey, don't be afraid. You know, half breeds are allowed, full breeds. I'm just kidding. Hey, man. I'm 100% mixed Taino. So we got 515.
Oh, wow.
Right? 515-602-9792. That's right. That's 515-602-97. And what's that? That's right. 92. So let's get this listener on.
Hello.
Listener, are you a half breed or are you a full breed? Tell us.
I'm coming out with the share a song. Half breed.
And what color are you? You can't talk.
I thought it was.
If you're white.
I thought I was.
You can't talk.
I thought I was. I thought it was pasty, but then I started looking at makeup and it's just like, you're tan. I'm like, oh, I'm tan now? Oh my God. I used to go for the alabaster, but it's like, I don't fit in that, you know, whiter than white anymore. So, and then I never did. It's just so weird. I'm like, why do I look like a ghost with this makeup on? So yes, they used to call me Leche when I was a kid. The leche. Yes. It's just like, oh my God. And it's just like, I don't get tan. Like I get a little bit of something, unless I'm in like Cancun or whatever, you know, and that was a nightmare. But yeah. This reminds
this
me, actually today, well, you know, hey, today I was listening to, a thing on Instagram about Cuba, right? And it's just like they were talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter and how Black Lives Matter find Fidel Castro and Che and all them, you know, to be like whatever good people. And, you know, so it's like, look, you don't understand. It's not about that. They've messed up us. And it's not about black. It's not about white, because we don't have black and white in Cuba. We're Cuban. Period. Okay. That came to America with the Americans back in the day, the mixture. Okay. Because colonization in Cuba, we're Cuban, period. If we're Chino, if we're Russian, if we're, you know, Asian, if we're white, if we're black, we're still Cuban. Okay. We still eat the rice and beans. We still eat the pork. Well, I don't, but yeah. So I was just like, Exactly. This whole thing with Black Lives Matter, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I understand what they did, but they also killed home. They also killed the people of Cuba. And we represent Native. We represent Black. We represent Europe. We represent, you know, so for them to turn their backs on us thinking that we're not Black enough, which is, that's how it's been in my life too, just like you, I never fit in. I wasn't white enough, especially when they heard my father speak. Girl, that was it. I wasn't Latina enough because I grew up in Navarros. Like, oh no, she's not Puerto Rican. She's Cuban. Cubans are white. She's not Cuban. I mean, she's not Puerto Rican. She's not, you know, she's not Latin enough. And then my father, with his backwards thinking, was, you have to improve the culture. You have to improve the race. So the whiter you are, the better you are. and that was not what I, you know, that was not what I believed in. And it's just like, well, you know, you want me to improve the race and you want me to better the culture, but you raised me in the South Bronx and in East Harlem. Where am I going to find that white lawyer with a lot of money over here? You know what I mean? So you bring me here, you introduce me to the culture, but then I'm supposed to marry something out of what I know? No, it doesn't work with me. I know what I know. And then when I did go to high school and it was all white, they were not the nicest people. You know, even in New York, when I lived in Midtown, they were mean to us. They tried to kill us and all this other stuff because we were the N-word of the block, okay? Just because my father, you know, him being Cuban, him having an accent, they try to kill us on multiple occasions. They try to set the building on fire. And, you know, it's like I've never fit into any, you know, I fit in, don't fit in, but I blend in, which is weird. You know, everybody likes hanging out with me, but I'm just not, you know, enough. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, definitely.
I don't know.
That happens a lot in society. Look at our color.
And someone told me, too, Diane Cohen, you might know who she is. She's, I think she was one of the nations, like the Mohawk or up there. And she's like, it's not about the color of your skin or whatever. It's about your spirit. And you have a Native spirit, right? And everybody who tells me, who can read me, who are, you know, seers or medicine people or whatever, they're like, you have like so much Native in you, and on both sides, okay? You have magic on both sides. You have, and I know with my DNA, I have black on both sides. I have white on both sides. You know, I have the whole, you know, the world in me. So, you know, and I have Native, not just Native American, but I have Native, you know, indigenous to Asia. I have indigenous to Africa. I have indigenous to Europe. You know, I'm Viking. So we're, everywhere I go, I'm indigenous, you know, except like the European, like the English, you know, upper crust, you know, queen and stuff. But it's still in me, you know,
God,
so even like you, yeah, okay. Like you say, you know, oh, well, you know, are you Native, are you more Native, you know, Northern Native, or you Taino Native, or you, like, I'm Native, period. You know what I mean? Either way, yes, I'm probably closer to Taino Native because that's my father. And then my great-grandmother on my mother's side is Native. So it's like I'm still Native. And people don't understand, but colorism is everywhere. We don't have to stop it in Native cultures. But everywhere we are, because we are white, we are black, we are Native, we are Asian, and it's just like anybody who we know, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm Filipino too. Hey, stop the colorism. You know what I mean? Because it's just like my great-grandmother had to leave the Philippines because she was a black Filipino. Okay? So I'm not trying to hear that, oh, well, you're not black enough. Why not? Why not? My great-grandmother was black. Now what? You know what I mean? So, oh, you're not Native enough. Why not? You know, oh, you're not Native. Oh, where did your family come from? What's your name? Bah, bah, bah. You know what? Get someone who could read, get an elder, and have them come read me, and they could talk to my spirits and see how that is. Okay? Otherwise, get out of my face. Okay? Don't disrespect me or my elders and our ancestors, because I don't look like you.
Okay, there you go.
Well,
and I know recently you did your DNA and you learned a lot about this.
Well, most of the stuff I actually knew. I knew most of the stuff. I said I knew most of the stuff because my mom taught me. You know, I knew about my great grandmother being Filipino. I knew about her being, you know, an Aita because I was told this is where she's from. This, and because this is where she's from,
yes.
These at that time, they were only Aitas living there, the original people. And she had to leave because they were killing them at that time. And if you look in the 1800s, the late 1800s, they're dark-skinned Asian people. now you look at them and they're the typical Filipino, you know, tan people, right? So, and it's just so funny because, I mean, I knew I had African because, not just because of DNA, but I also did my family tree name by name by name by name, all, going all the way back, you know? And it said, I only did it on like one side too. And they're saying I'm related to a lot of, you know, I'm able to go back further because I have royal blood. You know, it means nothing to me, but because there's you know, less, I don't want to sound whatever, but peasants weren't, you know, they weren't really like, you know, written about, you know what I mean? They're not in the history books. They weren't really written about. They, Joe Schmo was like, who cares? But, you know, the Duke of Lexington is going to be written about, you know, and that's what I have a lot of that in my history. So it's easier for me to go back in my lineage without DNA. And it says, well, if you're related to this person, then this person is also related to this person. And it goes all the way back to Egypt and Ethiopia. So, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, well, they like some of the people, they're saying like some kings and queens from back in the day. And I know from names, I have like some French royalty or like knights from England, dukes, things like that. Not necessarily kings or queens, but close enough. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, okay, cool, they're whatever. And then I have people who are making differences and going against the grain too, like Huguenots, you know. But then everywhere I look, it's just someone here and there making, you know, some type of history. So it's easier to find those people because of that. My Cuban heritage, all I know is my great-grandmother. And then, like, some people are either from, like, the Canary Islands or Spain, Cuba. And then that's basically it, you know. But it's just like, I'm like, oh, yeah, my African side is probably from my father's side because of the slave trade, da-da-da. And, yeah, some of it is. But I was like, wow, I think most of that African side is my mom because I have a great-grandmother who's from Liberia. So I was like, I wonder if my mom, who is light-skinned with blue eyes and she had light hair, I wonder if she's more African than my father. Both in the typical, you know, Cuban mixed African. Yeah, and it's crazy because he's the one, you got to improve the race. So he found someone with blue eyes and blonde hair because she dyed her hair at that time. And it's just like, girl, you found a light-skinned black woman.
Damn.
Well.
That's bittersweet.
Yeah. And that's the thing is just like, you know, we always bumped heads because it's just like, I refuse to hate, you know, especially with home, you know what I mean? These are my friends. These are my, you know, playmates. These are my school, you know, whatever. These are like, how am I going to hate these people because of the color of skin or what they practice? I know more about Puerto Rico than I do about Cuba. I know more about African American stuff than I knew about white things. You know, I know more about Native stuff, you know, because of my mom and because of my ancestors teaching me from beyond than I do. You know, I've been through the Catholic things, never liked it, never sat well with me. I was baptized twice, never, like, it was not a good thing for me. Like, I'm the one that just sit there and laugh because I'm like, what is this stuff, you know? No disrespect to anybody, but it's just not me, you know. And all this stuff comes from colonization. And we were not church people. Exactly. We were not church people. Our church is native. Our church is nature. Our church is Mother Earth. Our church is the sky, the sun, the moon. But, oh, no, we're primitive. Oh, you hug trees? You're a savage. Okay. Sure. What?
And what color is a savage?
I don't know.
I have a not politically correct answer for that.
What's that?
What's that?
Wait, what she said? What she said?
Anybody that came on Columbus's ship, that's a savage.
Well,
wait a minute.
The people that look like Ponce de Leon, those were savages.
I mean, I don't see how that's incorrect, but you know, when you sit there and pillage and rape and steal and rob and you slaughter, that's a savage. Why? Because we didn't sit there and eat with forks and knives and stuff like that. But then you sit there and turn around and stab us with a knife? Who's a savage? Who's the murderer?
That's it, man. Here's a disclaimer. We are not politically correct here in Dino Radio.
It's not about
if she said a dark person, then that would be politically incorrect. But when you're really a savage, you're a savage. It doesn't matter what color you are. And these people came here and tried to slaughter us and rape us and killed us and brought our ancestors off of Africa to be enslaved because they were too lazy to do the job themselves. Who's a savage?
Yeah. Well, listen, I have a song I want to share. I'm getting it out of YouTube because I couldn't find this song anywhere to download. So I pray a commercial doesn't come up. I don't have the membership with no commercials. But this is a song that was, it's, I don't know if you guys heard it. It's a great song. It's called We Are One. And it was a collaboration between Alumi Native and Mac 7. It had all these rappers and all these hip-hop stars that came together. And traditionalists, different, and activists, I should say. So let me see if I can play it. Have you heard
the song about I am my mother's savage daughter, and you're not gonna make me be quiet? Oh yeah, I put that on the stage.
Yep, that's been my theme song
for that.
Bro, I'm not gonna be quiet. I am my mother's savage daughter, and you're not gonna make me be quiet.
I gotta look for that.
Yeah, I posted it in the page.
So let me see if I can play this one. I'll look for the other one.
Mm-hmm. I'll send it to you.
This is DJ Sonakoi spinning the record.
It's under the missing women and missing indigenous women and whatever on it in IG. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to look in the crates, all right? See if I can find the vinyl.
Dust it off.
Can you guys hear that?
No.
Can you guys hear that?
No.
Can you hear that music?
I cannot hear the music.
Nope, we can't hear anything.
I hear my fam. Right.
The Spooky Lou show is residue from the Haunted Studio here.
That's what happened before. I was trying to listen to this, and it went to Spooky Lou's show.
All right, let me
try this again.
Come on, DJ. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not working. If you can't hear it right now, it's not working.
You can't hear it.
If you can't hear it, can you hear this?
Lo rompiste.
Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I guess I have to sing it myself. I guess I gotta sing it myself then.
Break up on my Yuacan and Maracas.
Wait, hold on.
Let me get my shaker.
We are one. We are one. Wait, hold on. It's something wrong.
Bro. Drop the mic.
All right, let me see if I can fix this technical difficulty. And while you guys can talk, let me see if I have any other listeners. Hold on. Any other callers? Anybody wants
to
call in? It's 515.
I found we are my mother or the mother's savage daughter. I did find that.
Okay, hold on a second. 515-602-9792. Anyone wants to call in? I know you're listening. Don't be afraid. we're not going to discriminate based on your color. We can't even see your color. So call in. Don't worry about it.
I'm so pale and clear. No.
Let me see.
What's the name of the song? We Are One What?
It's a great song, but I can't, for some reason, I can't download it.
I mean, I got Frankie Beverly and Maze, We Are One.
We got Frankie Babylon, what?
Frankie Beverly and Maze, We Are One, R&B. Listen.
Well, let me.
You're the one that's come up with these. You got Lion King.
The Lion
Pitbull.
King? Wait a minute.
Pearl. Girl, I don't know. We Are One.
Well, I'm trying to stall for some. Trying to stall for
one
some
world.
Time here to see what we can do. Yeah, there's some of this technical stuff going on.
What's the name of it though? We Are One Voice Children's Choir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Boys Choir, what?
It says We Are One, the Voice Children's Choir.
That's a good one.
No, that's what it says. I'm looking up the song, but you don't give me the name of.
Okay.
Okay,
I got a caller. They're calling always from Puerto Rico. All right, let me see if I can connect them. We got Borinquen in the house. Let's see what they have to say about colorism.
They're green.
Straight out of the mountains of Yunque, we have local keys. All right, I think they're really happy that we're doing this show. That's awesome. But we're going a little overtime here. But check this out, Inaruboria, what you got to say?
Beke.
Well,
colorism. Because we got a lot of shy folks who are listening in. We got a lot of shy folks that are listening in. And
well,
one more time, I ask you.
In.
Yeah, we got a lot of shy folks. People tell me they're in. They're on. But 515-602-9792.
Do I
call on in. We got
you. Do I have to hang up?
You don't have to hang up. You can hang around.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Wait. I mean, for all the people, well, first, I guess let me start off with this. Believe it or not, I'm an extremely shy person. My face turns red when I have to talk to people. I'm very shy overall and in general. However, through the shyness, I understand that there's a problem. And if we don't speak about the issue, they will never be addressed. So as shy as I may be, I open up my big mouth and I share my opinions. You know, I bring awareness to the issues and I try to provide constructive ways to bring change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Personally speaking, I understand that some people is just extremely hard to speak about certain things. And I'll get debilitating anxiety before I have to speak in front of people or around people. And I still do it because it's needed. So for the people who are a little bit more shy that agree with the need for change, what I recommend is that you start off small. Start off with the people that you're close to, the people that you know you can confide in. You know, start conversation with them like, hey, look, this is on my mind and this has been bothering me and I don't really know where I should go to express these feelings, right?
And then if you want to, take it to social media. Why? Because that's the place for you to be social. So go ahead and hop on your Facebook pages or your Instagram pages and put those sentiments out there into, you know, the social media platform of your choice. And the people who agree with you will support you. And you'll find support in some people that you never knew even paid you mind or attention. And you never know what it is that you may say that may spark the next person to lead them to do the same thing. And then it just becomes a perpetual cycle of people working towards the same goal and building one another up and creating this community and this safe haven for these ideas. Will you have naysayers? Of course. People will always have an opinion because it's social media. And people feel that being spiteful or hateful or not instrumental is part of being social. So be prepared. You may have one or two people who have something to say. However, there's more than likely going to be more people who agree with your point of view that will come to your defense. And that will also provide you with a feeling of safety and security and understanding amongst your peers. So it'll also help build your confidence and your position in the way that you choose to activate, that's the word? And your form of activism. that you feel are important. So... You know, if you agree that colorism has no place in general in society, then by all means, you know, please speak about it. Somebody is bound to listen to you. Now, when I say colorism has no place in humanity, I mean that in the context of what colorism is. You know, I'm not any less African-American because I look Hispanic. I'm not any less Asian because I don't look Asian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. However, don't downplay prejudice and racism because those are also things that we all have to experience in one way, shape, or form. So please don't, while you go in your travels of explaining colorism and why colorism is wrong, please don't mistake colorism for racism overall and in general. That is an issue that is very prominent and, you know, the brunt of a lot of hurt for large groups of people in their entirety. So as we continue to choose a route of activism holistically and wholeheartedly, choose your words carefully and, you know, target your audience as necessary. But please, don't support the idea of colorism within the indigenous community. It has no place in indigenous relations whatsoever.
You know what's interesting? I remember one of my Lakota teachers used to teach me that back in the day, way back in the day, like great grandparent generation, they used to refer to an Indian as black boy, because they used to tan really, really hard during the summer. And they used to say black boy. Interesting, right? With different terms. In Puerto Rico, I know they say negrito if you have some color. Not to be super dark, but some color, right? Negro, right? Hey, negrito.
Yeah.
Any kind
it's
of color.
But that's also been like a term of endearment. Like, you know, Celia Cruz, you know, she'll be like, you know, La Negra, and that's
negra,
a term.
Negra, soy negra.
Yeah, that's a term of endearment, you know, like that. But, I mean, for me to say,
but
like,
again,
black
color.
Boy, whatever. But then I also grew
it's
up
the
with,
same thing.
because I look so white, white people will come to me and start saying some negative stuff. I'm like, wait, hold up. First of all, you don't know me. Don't let color my skin fool you. Please don't. Because I got enough color in my blood that I should whip your ass right now just for saying that. But, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, oh, they get too comfortable. Like, no, you don't know who you're talking to. You know, I have every shade of the rainbow in my family. Don't play with me.
Well, then it's up to you to, you know, set those boundaries, right? Set those boundaries, right?
Oh, I do. I definitely do. You know, I almost had to. Fight this one guy in high school because he called this black kid the N word, and I'm like, yo, don't do that. He goes, oh, I'm just. I'm like, I don't give a. Okay, don't do that. It's ignorant. It's not. And that's not even. Back then, the N word wasn't even like as common. You know what I mean? It was like, it wasn't like, yo, my no, it wasn't like that at all back then. Okay, for you to come out and say that out of your mouth, you would get punched right in the face. Okay, and I said, don't say that. That's, oh, but he is my, I don't care. You don't say that ever. You don't have the right to say that, you know? But yeah, that's probably why we never dated. I had the biggest crush on him. I'm like, I don't care. Whatever's right is right. Like, I like you, but that's ignorant. Nope, I'm not having it. And I fought.
Yeah.
Just because they call my brother-in-law the N-word, you know, on the block I used to live on. And it's just like, you don't even know what that word means. You are that. Because you're so ignorant and stupid, you know, for you to call him that. You know, we actually had a big blowout fight, and they came with a whole bunch of people later to, like, my father came out with his machete. It was a bad, bad time. But, yeah, I've always fought, like, you know, it's just like, everybody's like, you need to watch your mouth. But I'm like, but I'm going to fight for what's right, you know. And I've always, and people keep telling me, well, everybody's prejudiced. Everybody's racist. I'm like, no, that's not true. Not everybody is racist. You know, sometimes you pick up what you learn growing up, but you don't understand the way I grew up. I grew up around mostly people of color. So how could I hate that? And the other thing is, too, because I knew a lot about my lineage, I knew that I was a person of color. You know, they're like, oh, everybody's racist. I'm like, no. That's not true. Because I would hate my own family if that was the case. But I don't know.
Hey, check it out, guys. Guess what I found in my crate? I found a vinyl.
Yay!
I'm wiping out the dust. I'm wiping off the dust. And guess what I found? It's called We Are One. Check this out.
Sing out to the world to hear that our time is now, no more for tears. I look in
Hey, what y'all think about that one?
Cool.
I think that summarizes a lot of the, you know, what we're talking about today. Got one blood. You know, one blood, that's it, one people. You know, I think the only color that we need to worry about is the color red. You know why? Back in Borinquen, Quisqueya, right? Uva. Jamaica, Haiti. When you look at the soil, right, it's nice and red, man. It's rich with that iron, right? That red color. We're going back to the homelands, right? We're going back to the homelands, right? We're going to reclaim that our ancestral ways, where it wasn't about color. It was about that unity, right? So that's the color I'm looking at, red. So, that's my opinion for tonight.
The red clay in the mountains, and it always calls me. I have to go back there.
Yeah, the red, man. It's in our flag, too, right? The red.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's funny how a lot of the natives, they say, you know, red nation, you know, stuff like that. But when you look at the earth, man, it's nice and red. That rich red, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Inaburi, I think we lost her.
I don't think. Well, maybe.
KK?
I think we lost Inaburi.
No,
did we lose her?
No, you're correct.
What does Malia have to say? I want to know her opinion. What's her opinion, Malia? Is she still up?
Her opinion is snoring.
What color is
if
that?
If you ask her anything, she's just going to say whatever Sanakori says.
Okay, since these shows are archived, Let's go back now. Let's go forward. Let me see. How old is she? Okay, maybe. Okay, say 6 years from now. No, wait a minute. Have her listen to this tomorrow, right? Say, Malia, why did you fall asleep? I was asking for you, Malia. You were sleeping. Ma said that you were snoring. Come on. Next time I got to get you on the show, Malia. Can't sleep. I got to catch you before you sleep, Malia. What's your favorite color?
We'll do a clip.
Let her listen to this clip, all right? Malia, wake up.
Oh, yeah. That's going to fly.
All right, man. So any closing remarks? We got like a couple of more minutes left. Anybody wants to close it out or any closing remarks? This whole D.
Sorry, you got anything for us?
I think I kind of poured my heart out. I thought I talked too much, but you know, it's just been only 50-something years of waiting. Listen, you know, I lived that whole life for a long time, so. I don't know.
Oh, that was good what you shared. That was good because it's from the heart.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, it's the truth. It really is the truth.
It's what?
And it's the truth. And it's just like, I've seen it my whole life. And it's like, just because my, you know, and everybody says, oh, yeah, white privilege. And, you know, yeah, I guess I have privilege because I'm lighter skinned, but I always use my privilege to help others. And, you know, yeah, it's, some of us have that, you know, but even still, we don't have it either, because once they know who we are, that changes, you know? So
mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yeah, she's white. Oh wait, maybe she's not. Let's treat her like everybody else, you know? So yeah, we just have to keep going, keep teaching and learn from each other, because we are the teacher of the future, you know, and the children need to learn, the children need to continue. And I mean, thank goodness it's gotten better, you know, since we were younger. And I'm not saying people are less hating, but they're more open now. You know, you couldn't even say you were Native back then because you were a savage, you know.
Chill. That first generation of our ancestors.
I see in the Native culture, it's just like, oh, like Hondo. Oh, he's too dark. Like they disrespect him on Facebook. They post, how's he claiming he's Native? Look at him. Like what? And I just tag him, and it's just like, how dare you? You know, I see it. I see it all the time. It's not funny. We're not laughing.
Yeah, and it happens, man. You know, the way I see, you know, the lighter-skinned natives, you know, what happens is they're from the mountains. It's not, you know, the cold, or you come from the cold states or the cold areas in Borinquen or the islands. You know, they're from the forest. They're from the rainforest.
Lakota people are darker, too. You know, a lot of them are darker.
Well, during the summer.
Yeah.
But during the winter, you know, it's just like us. We lose some shade, you know?
Yeah, and then the other thing is, too, people have to understand that we were a big part of the Underground Railroad. So there's going to be black natives, period. You know? We were one fighting one cause. It didn't matter if you were Native or black. We were there to fight with each other, you know, against other people. So, yeah, we intermingled and babies came out. And so there's black natives. People have to understand that. There's white natives. There's, you know, there's native, whatever native color is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That red thing is just like, it's funny. But, yeah, that's another story.
Well, we got someone here who's been misunderstood for a long, long time. And I finally got him to call in. All right, we got our last call of the night. Yo.
Hi, Vio.
Oh, seriously. What? Wait, hold on. No, no. See, you're thinking the worst case scenario.
Hold on.
When the moon hangs high on the breast of the lake, and the bite of the wind is like a slap in the face, a legend of horror lurks in the haze. It's Bigfoot.
Now that's the guy that often gets criticized.
I thought you was gonna play Yare's best friend.
I see, I tricked you, man. You see that?
You did. Who's that? Well, Yahioka is showing.
You see, you got tricked there, huh? See, just when you think you
just when I think I had it all figured out.
Sapada, 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 sapada. Oh, that is sapada, sapada, sapada.
There you go.
That's him. That's Abuelito Ortiz. That's Teal.
That's straight up from Guyana, the Arawak. Singers there, the Arawak singers from Guyana, Abuelo, right? He was throwing down. So that's all good, man. We're having fun here, right? We're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we don't have any more callers. We got shy, except La Loca, you know?
Well, that's because I'm comfortable with you guys. I don't do public speaking well, but, you know, since I'm talking to you guys. And that's you know what, the other thing I was thinking just now, colorism, like, with the babies that just came home, you know, from being murdered or whatever. I think, you know, because that's the same time as my great-grandmother was taken from her people. And I think the reason why she didn't go to the school is because she looked white. So she was raised by white people for farm help instead of going to the school. But I bet you some of those children that were brought home from Pennsylvania or wherever are probably some of her, you know, either good friends or family members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's another thing with colorism. Yeah, that's another thing with colorism. Like I said, my great-grandmother had green eyes, and she was light-skinned, so she passed for white, so they put her to the farm.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's why it's like this is like this, the whole Pennsylvania and the churches, I mean, the schools, it hits home because they could be my ancestors.
Yeah. That's it. Well, that's it. God bless them all, man. Hey, check it out. I like to end the show with one song that was donated Taino Radio by Cacique Tureku. And it's called, we debuted it here in Taino Radio, it's called Island Style Afro Taino. I know a lot of people out there in the community represent themselves as Afro Taino. Well, we're all Taino, right? The good people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to close the show. Thank you both for being here tonight, taking your sweet time and being here and representing the DNA show. So take it away, Afro Taino.
Now here it is. Wamo Taino voices bringing sound and truth from the ancestors. Hear me now. Here it is. Here we go. We do it island style.
Sapada, 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 sapada. Oh, dale, sapada, sapada, sapada. Sapada. Wala na na na, ino, ino. Sapada, nanugununu, sapada. Oh, sapada, sapada, nanajin. Nukuruna sapada, orene sapada, sapada sapada. I go no, I sapada. Mixing sapada, I don't know, sapada. Sapada.